Quorum. We'll call this meeting to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Okay. Donna Shaw.
Yes.
Atta Bird.
Here.
Danielle Cornelius.
Here.
Sarah Hill.
Here.
Hope Caston. Miranda Shake.
Here.
Deb Sherrick.
Here.
Dawn Taylor. Waltermeyer. Sandy West.
Here.
And Carol Zeiss.
Here.
Okay, and then for the Share Finance and Policy Committee, I've already got Miranda Shake, Esther Curry,
Here.
Amanda Doherty, Betsy Mahoney,
Here.
Jill Pfeiffer,
Here.
and Diane Yeoman. Okay.
Okay, thank you. So we have two sets of meeting minutes, one from January 24th and one from February 1st. So let's look at January 24th. Are there any additions, corrections, et cetera? Hearing nothing, I'd entertain a motion to accept the minutes of January 24th.
This is Sandy, so moved.
Thank you. May I have a second?
This is Esther, I'll second.
Thank you. We need a roll call vote.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Atta Bird? Did
we
I
can't
lose
hear
her?
you. She's there, but we can't hear her.
Okay. Sorry, I need to unmute and I lost the wind.
Yes. Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Deb Sherrick?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
And Carol Zeiss?
Yes.
Okay. And Miranda, I'm going to go ahead and mark you a yes for finding it. Oh, these are actually minutes for executive council, so we'll only do executive council for these. Sorry about that.
All right, so we have one more set of the February 1st meeting of Executive Council. Do I hear any corrections or additions?
I'll move to accept those minutes as presented. This is Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. May I have a second?
This is Miranda.
Thank you, Miranda.
Roll call vote. You need a second for the previous minutes to be from executive, I can second those. Yeah.
I didn't think about that either. I thought it was for the last joint committee we had. Yeah. So sorry about that.
I'm sorry. I didn't even think about that either. Okay. Yeah, we will go ahead. Miranda, we can list you as the second on that as well.
Fine.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay.
Roll call.
Donna Shaw.
Yes.
Atta Bird.
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Miranda Shake.
Yes.
Deb Sherrick.
Yes.
Sandy West.
Yes.
And Carol.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Moving on to new business. We have one thing listed, the fiscal year 2025 budget review.
Okay. And so I know that Ron, we had sent out the budget narrative, so you all had a chance to take a look at that. And just again, I think Rhonda did a great job of just noting where a lot of the changes were, especially personnel being the largest expenditure of 60%. And so, of course, it is going up a little bit this next year with a 3% increase planned for salaries. Then, of course, some projections for like Social Security and unemployment. And so we have that, but there's no additional changes in salaries for no additional changes in staffing levels. And so it's really just a typical increase. Did anybody have any questions on that portion?
This is Jill. I do answer.
Okay.
On the first page, under your retirement benefits bullet point. So I guess I'm just trying to figure out like, what is your IMRF percentage? Because you're saying your rate was 0.96 maybe? Not that was your IMRF, but it's what I'm seeing is 10% increase over CY 2024 rate of 0.96. So I'm kind of confused by what that whole line means, because that's a big increase, 10%. To go from 1% to 10.
Oh, and Rhonda, we are not hearing you. You're not muted, but.
Sorry. It's 10% over the current rate of 10.9%, 0.96%. So not up to 10%, but 10% over 0.96% added to that. And that's just an estimate. Normally at this time of the year, we already have our next calendar year preliminary rate, but mm-hmm. as most people know with IMRF, what's happening right now with their website transition and their delays with everything, the preliminary rate release is also delayed. So if it stayed flat from the last current year to this current year, and it hasn't had much of an increase in the past, so I only took it up 10%. It, not to 10%, but up 10% more than 0.96%, if that makes sense, if I'm explaining that correctly.
Well, let me ask, okay, so your current rate, your current IMRF rate is what?
0.96%.
Okay, and then you're estimating that your new rate will be
1.06%, so 10% higher than 0.96%.
I'm just going to say your IMRF rate.
But we paid very high, high rates early on in IHLS's merger, you know, after IHLS's merger time, very high percentage rates. So I think that's why ours are currently low now, is because we got so funded at the beginning of when they established, and now it's been low.
Really, really low.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then my other question is under workers' comp. It said it's projected by an estimated increase due to claims history. Mm-hmm. So when I read that line, I assume, and that can be wrong, that there have been several claims. And if there have been, like, what are the nature of them? Are they, like, sorted relating because there's so much manual in there? Or what?
I mean, we can't disclose a lot of that, but we can say, yeah, it's not so much clerical workers as it is our other side of, you know, where our manual labor are.
Okay.
We had our experience modification rate came back as 1.42%, which usually means that's like a 42% increase. So we did put that in the budget, even though there are negotiations that our broker will do on our behalf, but we don't get those until, you know, it gets at least like 60 days prior to renewal, which is 7/1. So unfortunately, we don't have a good estimate besides that modification, experience modification number. So that's what we went by, but that could change. And our hope is, you know, he does some negotiation on our behalf to get that to change. But we know it's going to be a significant increase this next, even if it isn't 42%, it's still going to be higher than normal due to claims.
Which also, sidebar, automated materials handler would also possibly lessen that.
It could,
yes. You would hope significantly, mm-hmm. but you probably can't roll that into the conversation because of the, like you said, the, like, there's a mm-hmm. lot of privacy involved around workers' comp.
May I ask the question of how many of the sorters, et cetera, is share paying for? I thought that delivery was covered by the state library.
So
share covered that at all.
Share is not. Share is absolutely not covering any of that. But our workers' comp rate is figured on a
organization. Yeah.
Which,
okay.
You know, we have two different classifications, drivers and clerical workers. So the clerical worker rate is very, very low. So it's not impacted. I mean, you could see for share on that line, if you go down to the table, you can see that last year, it was, of course, it's going to increase because it's based on gross wages. And like Cassandra mentioned, there's going to be a 3% increase in that. But last year, it was estimated to be $663 for workers' comp. Next year, it's $1,029. So, you know, even though there's a significant increase for percentage wise to that, there is not going to be a big impact for share because they have a lower clerical workers' comp rate. So that impact for them is, you know, less than $400.
Do we have any other comments on just that one section?
Okay, hearing none, then we'll go ahead and move on we'll go ahead and just discuss the revenues. Now, this is something that has been discussed pretty extensively with the Share Finance and Policy Committee. When we planned our member fee increase, we actually discussed having that 17% cap, which meant that we knew that we would plan at least this first 2 years of possible deficits. And so the way that we addressed that was to review and how could we help members, because there were some libraries that was like 30% increase, 25% increase. And so with that, I think 16% was the average. So we capped it at 17%. And so we knew that there was going to be a deficit. With that, we were very pleasantly surprised. And this is, again, with Rhonda's leadership of realizing that the Illinois fund was returning so high that we had the revenue, putting it into our reserve fund, the revenue from that. And so that the plan was to use that revenue to help offset the cost for the deficit up to not, we're not necessarily at the end of the year going to move over $63,910 because that's what we budgeted for. What will happen is we'll review our end of the year as we get kind of towards this time this year, and we'll be able to evaluate, do we have that's still available in our operating cash that we can I'm so sorry, it's the afternoon and my concentration dips in the afternoon. I'm so sorry. So we can just pull it from our existing operating fund, or we can then go to our reserve fund and use that investment income, just depending on how much the end of the year deficit would be. And so we will have a plan to do that. And so I wanted to just discuss that with everybody to make sure that everybody understood that we knew that we would have a deficit, and that is our plan. Does anybody have any questions on that portion? Okay, we also are in the process of renewing the group purchases. And so there's a new one this year for Library IQ. We're also, of course, calculating everybody's buying power for Cloud Library. We also have McNaughton book leasing, and it's under the share fund for, and Rhonda, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Swank movie licensing is another one, even though it's for all of IHLS, since it's not something that's required to go through the share program and the ILS. But that is something that we are, that will go under like library materials and the non-committed funds. We've included everything of in that in our proposal or in the budget. And then we will be continuing to do travel and continuing education and conferences. One of the conferences that we've been really pleasantly surprised by has been IdeaCon, which was a new one to us last year, that is a educational conference that allows us to get in front of a lot of school librarians. And it's not just school librarians, it's also the technology teams and administrators. So it's a really good one that we've really enjoyed. This last year, Dina Porter actually attended that one, and we got to sit next to Isle right across from the Little Free Library. And so it was just a really great experience. This year is going to be a little bit different because we won't have, Rhonda did correct me. Thank you, Rhonda. It's spelled the Swank movie licensing. And so for the travel, this year was a little bit heavier because we had the Public Library Association, and there was some planned travel for a conference for the Illinois International Coalition of Library Consortia that was a bit farther away than it normally would be. Next year, we won't necessarily have that, but of course, there's always, you know, with inflation, things are going up. So that's still a pretty, it's still a large chunk of our budget. And then we've also been planning for public relations to going out to those conferences. As we're planning for Reaching Forward South tomorrow, you'll get all the great swag that we offer for our members. And so that's, and then again, equipment, supplies, and then contractual services. And so that's, again, the Polaris subscription and other different information service costs. We also have professional membership dues. And so that's the, again, I had mentioned the International Coalition of Library Consortia. That used to be a volunteer organization, but they have moved to more professional based and have hired a staff member to help manage that organization. And so this next year, they will have a professional membership due. So we have a new proposal for that in our budget as well. So those are some of the highlights of the draft budget. Rhonda, did you have anything to add that maybe I've missed?
That is pretty much covers the operating budget, but were you wanting to go into any of the share reserve budget where, yep. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I'll go into that next.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Cassandra, could you kind of clarify for me how many of the staff is actually attending some of these meetings? You've got over $11,000 for out-of-state travel. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't get to go anywhere. So I'm just kind of curious about, I think going to conferences is important and to learning new ideas and stuff. But, you know, how many people are going to Reaching Forward South, and how many, you know, down south, I can understand it. But if you're going to the one up north, mm-hmm. I don't know the value that that brings.
Right. So we actually sponsor Reaching Forward South. So we send a lot of staff because we're manning a booth. Sense. Same with the IdeaCon, we're manning a booth because we're sponsoring, not just attending for professional development. And so for next year, I think we have, let me actually pull up it to get a little bit more detail. I have a spreadsheet that is kind of a planning spreadsheet. Give me just one moment to pull that up. Because we generally plan on ALA. This year we did not go, or we're not planning on going because it was a PLA year. And it was a little bit farther away, which of course the, you know, increased costs. So give me just one moment.
Well, the out of state would include ARSL, right? Because that moves around mostly the Midwest.
But we are not planning on going to ARSL next year because it's going to be, or at least the shares team. I don't know that I can't remember if we planned for anybody to go to that because it's going to be in Massachusetts. So it won't be close by like it was last year, like it was in Kansas City. We could drive. Okay. So we have one person assigned for ARSL that is not, we haven't decided who's going to go. Then we have IELTS is going to be up at Tinley Park. That's another one that we always plan to attend to catch our school library members and promote share to standalones. Mm-hmm. The big one for us is IUG, which is the Innovative Users Group. And that one, we always send Troy, we always send Dina. This last year, Jennifer and I were not able to attend, but we normally would. And so the part of that budget is usually two IT people are scheduled that are through the share budget, that they, because of the way that we have that set up, is we have two people. And I know this is, the numbers are going to change because we've got some new IT staff coming in that are going to be on the general fund, but we generally send two IT people. So that's usually Troy or Brandt. And then our share management team, essentially. And so that's an opportunity for us to have some time in front of the vendor and Polaris representatives and their support team. It's also an opportunity for the continuing education, but also getting the roadmaps of where Polaris is going. So we're kind of there on behalf of the share membership. And then there's the so that one is they've already announced that will be in Denver. So that'll be again, an out of state with flights and hotel rooms and things like that. And then we've got ALA, which we have two people assigned to go to that. Reaching Forward South will be a little bit more challenging. It's in Effingham, so it's not as close. So usually people presenting, we would send them out the night before. And then ILA. we have 6 people planning to attend in Peoria. So, so those are the big ones for next year.
I just think it's a lot of travel.
It is.
But I'll let it alone, but I just think it's.
And I understand that, but when just a lot. For out-of-state travel, it's not just professional development, like especially IUG, we are there representing SHARE. Sure. As it's not just continuing education, even though that is a large component of it. And then, of course, for in-state conferences, we're not necessarily going just for professional development. We're, again, representing SHARE to standalones and to potential members, but also being very visible to our members at a centralized location, which is really a huge benefit. And so that sponsorships that we're doing, it's not just kind of wearing the hat of like, you know, you would send a team out from your library, but for us, we are the vendor. So we are there to represent our organization. So
I think the visibility is a good thing. Like I know when I was working in a small town, you know, a few years ago before this, when I was looking into the idea of interlibrary loan, it just was too overwhelming for me because I wouldn't have the fees or anything or even know who to talk to about any of that stuff. And I'd wish I'd had more awareness of, you know, these services because I was desperately trying to get, you know, things for my students. And as I'm becoming more, you know, or have become more aware since I've been in my district now, it really is a big benefit for me for teachers. I can say, I can get you those class sets you want. You know, give me a couple of weeks. We got that. No problem, right? We don't need to buy them. Let's get them. And other things. And then that's also then a selling point I'm able to make as far as how we have certain resources and are able to leverage that. So I mean, I agree. When we're looking at the numbers, it's like, but I don't, you know, get to do that. But I'm just me and my one.
Well, I used to work for the system too, Ada. I mean, and I went to these conferences and I stood in booths, you know, doing that for the other side too. I get it. It's just in a budget crunch year when the rest of us are scrambling, it's a big number. It's just a big number. And not, like I said, I'll let it go. It's fine. It's just.
Yeah, I definitely understand that question and wanted to address it. This is actually, and I don't mean to be inflammatory, but this is actually a very light year for us because we don't have PLA and we're not planning on sending people to ARSA like we did this last year. So.
Okay. Moving on, is there another section after that?
And then, so the next section, just to double check, is there any more questions on expenditures just for our operating fund for next year? Okay. And so the next is the reserve fund. And so the reserve fund, we set some benchmarks a few years ago to have an established amount ready in case we ever decide that it's time to look into, like, do a request for information for other integrated library systems. And so a large part of the reserve fund and the goal that we're building towards. The second part is actually just to maintain our existing infrastructure for software and hardware. And so with that, there is projected revenues from the transfer from the operating fund, as well as the revenue that we discussed earlier from the Illinois fund. We also have planned $12,000 for a software replacement. This is something that we have put in the budget that we anticipate working with Brant Wingenter and to see if that's something that he can maybe build. In the event that that is too complicated a project that he doesn't have the time or capacity to tackle, we wanted to make sure that that was available in our budget to replace some existing an existing platform. And so right now we're using something called FileMaker, and it's elderly software. And so it is not serving our needs. I know Jennifer can attest she was fighting with it last week and then again some more this week of trying to address that. Jennifer, do you want to give them just a brief overview of what FileMaker does?
Sure.
So we use it for all of our statistics tracking in the cataloging department, both my side and CMC. So anytime items are sent to us, we have to code it a certain way to make sure that libraries are billed correctly. And it is incredibly finicky. If you hit one radio button wrong, you either end up getting charged or not charged. You might get a bill for $200 or $2,400, which accidentally happened. It's very easy to switch between libraries accidentally. So we need a system that is more user-friendly, less weird options, more streamlined.
Yeah. And I think the big part of FileMaker 2 is that it's no longer, because it is such an older product, mm-hmm. it's a FileMaker version that we can no longer even update it, and it's out of support. So once if it breaks, it's broken. We've broke our toy and we can't replace it. So we're trying to look at, and we have been looking at an alternative for a while, and it's just we've just not found the right product. And so I think that that's where we have had to make a decision of either building something internally, which would be the best option if we can do it. If not, we're going to look at just replacing FileMaker with a newer version of FileMaker that's well within support. So that's what that $12,000 is for. So any questions on that? Okay. Does anybody have any other questions or comments about the proposed 2025 budget? So what we generally do is the share committees review the budget, and then it goes to the IHLS Board of Trustees for a review and then a final approval. And so generally we send over any comments. So does anybody, if we have a comment to send to the IHLS Board of Trustees, we can do that now, or we can send it over that it has been reviewed with no additional comments or corrections.
So not hearing anything, I guess we just send it over as the recommended budget to the IHLS board. Do we need to vote on that?
I think it would be a good idea.
Okay. So may I have a motion to approve the fiscal year 2025 budget and to send it to IHLS's board of trustees?
This is Sandy, so move.
Sandy, okay. West, okay. In a second.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ada.
Thanks, Ada.
Roll call.
Okay. Now, this one will be a roll call for both. Donna Schall.
Yes.
Ada Bird.
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Miranda Shake.
Yes.
Deb Sherrick.
Yes.
Sandy West.
Yes.
Carol Zeese.
Yes.
Okay, Miranda, I'm going to go ahead and mark you yes on that one. Esther Curry?
Yes, sorry.
That's okay. Betsy Mahoney?
Yes.
Jill Pfeiffer?
Yes.
And Diane Yeoman?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do we have any? I'll let you, sorry.
I'll
send it back to you.
Thank you. Whatever. But do we have any other new business? Okay, hearing none, we go on to old business and the standing committee procedures.
Okay, and so because we had kind of bumped our normal meeting for this meeting today, I wanted to go ahead and get this on the agenda and finalized because both the Finance and Policy Committee and the Share Executive Council has now reviewed those new procedures. And all of our committees have had a chance to look at it. The last one would have been the Share eResources Committee, since they only meet twice a year. And so everybody was in favor of the new procedure. So I wanted to see if we wanted to go ahead and formalize that.
Did we get a copy of the final document?
Did I not send it out?
It could just
no,
be
me. No, I got
no,
it.
No, it's in, it was
it's
in the
on
packet.
There. It's a proposal. Standing
okay,
committees.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I just did. I probably sorry. Just didn't open it. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Is there any reason that in the first sentence, instead of just saying the opportunity will be announced to the membership, that it should specify the share membership? So there's not open to the IHLS membership.
Sure.
I realize it's a share on top of it, but I don't know. It's a minor thing.
Okay. Yeah, let me take a look at that. Okay, I can certainly add that with that correction.
Can you repeat the correction?
Jill Pfeiffer was saying in the first line, it says in the event of an opening, the opportunity will be announced to the membership. And she said just maybe to clarify, we should put in there that it will be announced to the share membership, just because there's sometimes some confusion between IHLS and share.
That sounds good.
If you want to go for consistency, you could add share again on the 1, 2, 3, 4th line where you mentioned membership again. But okay. It's stated in the first sentence, so maybe not necessary.
Did anybody else have any questions or suggestions for this procedure?
Nope, but this is Sandy West, and I will make a motion to accept the changed Standing Committee Share Governance document for submission.
Thank you, Sandy, and I will take a second.
I second.
Thank you, Deb.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, roll call.
All right. Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Ada Burt?
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Deb Sherrick?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
Carol Zeese?
Yes.
Okay, Miranda, I'm going to count you as yes again. Esther Curry?
Yes.
Betsy Mahoney?
Yes.
Jill Pfeiffer?
Yes.
And Diane Yeoman?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful.
And Cassandra, I just noticed that Kyla is on.
I was just about to mention that I just noticed her too.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I just popped in at the end of the budget conversation. So.
Okay. Kyla, did you have a chance to hear everything about the standing committee discussion? Did you want to vote on that?
I did hear that, and I'll vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Did you hear everything with the budget? Would you also like to record a decision for the budget as well?
I caught very little of it, so I'll abstain from that vote.
Okay, all right, thank you.
So now what do we do with this document? Do we publish it or...
So that is, it will go on the SHARE website, and then we also have internal policies and procedures. We'll make it available there as well.
Okay, great. Do we have any other old business? Hearing nothing. Any public comment? Do we have any public? If so, maybe you could put your name in the chat so we know that you're here. Any other announcements? All right, our next meeting then is scheduled for the Finance and Policy Committee is Wednesday, May 15th at 10 a.m. and the SHARE Executive Council is Thursday, June 6th at 2 p.m. I can already say I will not make that June meeting, just so you know, Cassandra.
Okay. I will make sure to note that. Thank you for letting me know.
Yep.
Okay.
Do we have anything else?
The only other thing that I have is that we will be at Reaching Forward South tomorrow, so stop by our booth and say hi. IHLS is also hosting a welcome event in Collinsville this evening, and so I know we had some RSVPs, but we've had two people that weren't able to make it, so if you didn't RSVP and you want to sneak in, you're more than welcome. We'll have some room, so just let me know, and if so, we'll look forward to seeing you this evening.
Okay, and I just wanted to say, I think this is my last meeting because I'm not going to be committee chair of finance anymore. Come the May meeting, we're supposed to put a new chair in.
That's right. Thank you, Miranda. I completely forgot about that. Well,
Miranda, thank you for all you have done because that budgeting piece is very long and involved. And so thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any other comments? All right, then I will call this meeting adjourned at 2:35 p.m. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.